Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Paradigm Shifters, people who are making a difference. I'm talking to some amazing people making a difference on our planet at this time. And the difference, I guess I always consider the difference to be about evolution. So Jonathan Goldman has written a wonderful book called Gift of the Body, and a lot of us, including me, are body workers and really know how our thoughts and feelings and our karma and everything are kind of registered in the body. And I'm going to speak with you, Jonathan, about a lot more detail about that. So welcome to Paradigm Shifters, and thanks for your great work. This is a big, fat book.
I'm very grateful to be here.
Oh, I'm grateful for you having written this book. I mean, this is really something. So, where shall we start? I mean, we're only talking about infinity. Where do you start in infinity?
You just spin it. You just spin a wheel and you poke your finger somewhere.
I want to do several things. It's like you've used wonderful descriptions of like, what are we? We're a ray of light. And then we end up in this sort of ocean of all kinds of energy influences that come from various levels. Can you give us just a thumbnail of that? We don't need to do the whole thing, but it was a beautiful description in your book of who we are and, yeah, what we're dealing with.
So here's what I say. I don't know if you know that there's a legend in the traditional Jewish mysticism that the little notch in the below your nose on your upper lip is when you're about to be incarnated, the angels touch you there, make that indentation, and you forget.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so we are, in the way I describe it, we are blind amnesiacs. And as we go through life, we become semi-blind rememberers.
Ah.
And that's the process of awakening, is we make our way through the chakras in our life until we arrive at a certain point naturally in the internally motivated process. We arrive
digestion.
At our heart.
Okay.
We arrive at our heart. It's a program. We're internally programmed to make our way through each chakra, various stages of our life, and then we come into our heart. We inhabit this vehicle. I call it the human energy vehicle. Other people call it the aura. Other people call it the etheric double. This multi-layered energetic, the most incredible construction in all of creation. And our job when we wake up inside it is to figure out how it works.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, and this is what I've discovered, and I have to say I'm super grateful, and you know, it was a very detailed process how I got there.
Sure.
Where the useful qualities that help us in that process are literally contained in that auric field. So the place of compassion, the place of faith, the place of forgiveness, the place of identity,
mm-hmm.
the place of passion, all of these have discrete places inbuilt in the original equipment in our auric field. And when we learn where they are, we can become collaborators, co-creators of that natural process of healing, transforming, and awakening.
So you're not saying it's a closed system. So this is me with my amazing auric fields with an edge to them or a membrane around them. You're not saying that. You're saying we can open with an awareness of all these energies and connect with others. And is that evolution?
I'm saying both those things are true.
Oh, okay. Good.
Both those things are true. We live in a paradox, right? I am in my egg.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your egg. And on the deepest level, we are totally connected and connected with all of nature and connected with all of the universe. So we have both those things. And so for me, when I come to my heart holds all that. My heart holds the personal,
mm-hmm.
like that awareness of like, yeah, I do have a boundary and I have my own. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also linked transpersonally to everything, to you and to the tree outside and the dog sitting next to me and to the universe. And so to hold all that to me seems like that's what it means to be an awakening spiritual person, to hold all of that, not to deny it, because there are spiritual works that deny the body, deny the humanity. And then we have our dominant culture that denies everything else.
Mm-hmm. I was just reading again about the solar plexus, the gut chakra, you know, and I'm going, okay, so we live in a third chakra reality, don't we?
We do.
And it's pretty darn hard sometimes to find the exit point of that, or the, how would you explain it, the transformation of what we experience there.
Okay? I think it's exactly correct. And, you know, you were, your introduction, you were talking about evolution. And my view is the evolution of humanity in general and the point that we're at now is the transference of our loyalty, so to speak, and our center from the third chakra to the heart.
Okay.
We are being moved by the naturally, right? So it happens in a human person. What we call the midlife crisis is that inner process, that inner program pulling us to leave behind our the centrality of the third chakra and come to the heart.
That's what's happening. It's a calling. You're saying it's a calling.
No, it's a calling. And because we're so, as you said, so committed to that third chakra paradigm, it can be hard. And so it can involve illness. It can involve heart attacks. It can involve breakdowns. It can involve our life changing. We fight it. And so in the fighting of it, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is happening in the general field. We are, right, we've just passed through, we're still in, but this attachment to the third chakra. No, we are going to stay like it is. We're going to stay in the place of competition. We're going to stay in the place of division and anger and blah, 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 all that stuff that we've seen.
And we can't.
We can't. It's inevitable. So the fighting of it, the fighting of that inevitability is what is creating the chaos.
Wow. And so let me see. So could we say that a lot of health issues, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, are actually steps forward if we accept them right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A symptom is the friction between the evolution that's trying to happen and the stuck pattern. And there's a place of friction between them because the evolution, the transformation, what word you choose, requires movement, requires things to be shaken up so that they can be rearranged in a new pattern. So these patterns that we have, the attachment that we have to ways of thinking and ways of and habits and identity, those are stuck patterns. And so that process of natural evolution, of naturally opening and changing and becoming new, bumps up against those old patterns, and that friction is what makes symptoms, and then we call that illness.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the actual healing, besides there are many good methodologies, and I don't deny any of them, and I use some of them myself, but that awareness of, oh, this is something's trying to happen here. Mm-hmm. Many, many people who come to me, one of the first questions I ask is, okay, so remember the prayer you made 6 months ago. So that when did symptoms start? 6 months ago. So remember 8 months ago, a year ago, what was the prayer you made for something to change in your life? And inevitably they think back, they, oh, you know what? I felt really stuck. I didn't know what to do. These patterns were so strong in me. My life was so stuck. And yeah, I did make a prayer. And it doesn't have to be a prayer like, oh, Lord, blah, blah, blah. It can just be a very deep moment of like, you know, I don't know what to do. Help me.
Right.
You know, and then you look back and you see how your life conspired to bring the thing so clear in front of your face that you don't have any choice but to work with it. And so to accept that, first of all, and say, oh, I see. I've been in the midst of difficult moments and complaining, right? Mm-hmm. Complaining, like, why am I going through that? Literally, I'll have my guide say to me, do you remember the prayer you made? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, sorry.
I call it coming to grips with all that from my own past experience. This was quite a while ago. I call it my nervous breakthrough. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because the way you describe in your book, I want to say the title again, Gift of the Body, the way you describe the networks of subtle energies that fill our egg, if you will, but also are beyond. You said we live in a sea of these energies.
Yeah.
And so I often perceive, I'm also an intuitive, I often perceive that we have these kind of like energy membranes around aspects of our identity or our belief systems or whatever. You know, it's not rigid. Uh-huh, it's just that I kind of perceive it that way. And I go, okay, this is a handy little metaphor.
No, I think it's not a metaphor. I think, in fact, I think what you're perceiving is exactly what I perceive. And, you know, your vision is a little different than mine, but it's basically the same thing. These discrete places. So let me give you an example, okay? Whole thing started for me. This was the late 80s. And when after I had been to Brazil and had my spiritual channel.
Oh, did you go to John of God? Is that where you
went?
No.
I went to a place near Rio, a village in the mountain called Heaven of the Mountains.
Oh, wow.
And where they still practice a kind of spiritual, their spiritual community, a self-selected spiritual community. The center of their work is the use of a tea that comes from the jungle that nowadays is called ayahuasca.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Right. And it in those days, this was 1987, 1988, nobody knew nothing about it outside of Brazil. Mm-hmm. And I went there with my teacher, who was a Brazilian man. Mm-hmm. And I spent a month there. And in the course of that time there, besides being confronted nose to nose with all the things in me that I had avoided and needed healing, also the incredibly strong vibration and the guides, the beings who work through that plant, opened up my own spiritual healing channel that I
wonderful.
Didn't know I had.
Wonderful.
So I came back. I had been an acupuncturist for 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My work completely changed because all of a sudden I had energy flowing through me and I'd put my hands on people and they'd get better and they'd get up and like that. And I started putting my hand, not knowing any of the details of it. I just would, my hand by on really on its own would go and hover over people's body. Now I know they were on various chakras and they were radiating the chakra with energy and with light. But at that time, I didn't feel anything or see anything, but it was like I was a puppet and someone grabbed my hand and shoved it over there and it would stay there for 5 minutes and then it would fall down and the other hand would pick up and go over another place. So I didn't know what any of it meant. But at this moment, when I started to learn, I had my hand over the solar plexus, right? You're referring to the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, about a foot and a half over this woman's body. And my hand was there, and all of a sudden, my inner voice, my intuitive voice said, I don't know who I am anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been through a number of times in my life where I could say that was true for me, but that wasn't one of those times.
Mm-hmm.
I actually imagined that I knew who I was. And so my hand's there, and so this was the person I had treated for a long time, and I said to her, so I just heard this thing about I don't know who I am anymore. And she starts burst out crying and she says, oh, my God, that's exactly what's going on. That's everything that's going on with me. That's exactly it. Oh, my God. And tells me the whole story. And so I wrote it down.
Okay.
And that started that I realized that place in what's called the mental body, what I call the mental body of the third chakra, is where identity lives, present time identity, right? Like Jonathan is fill in the blank. Right, mm-hmm. Veronica is fill in the blank in this life, not our transpersonal self, not our eternal self, but this life. So Jonathan is, you know, a father, a brother, blah 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 blah. That's was changing in her. She was going through the midlife crisis. So that began the investigation of, well, where's the other stuff? Where are the other qualities? Led me eventually. To realize, to be shown, where compassion lives in the heart chakra, where faith lives in the heart chakra, where forgiveness lives in the heart chakra, literally where forgiveness, there's a pre-prepared slot in the heart chakra waiting for forgiveness to activate it. And so but that took me 20 years to discover all these different things. Then I made a map that called the chakra map, and then that led, and then I thought, okay, I got to write all this down, and that led to the book.
Oh, wow. It's quite a lot of detail, that book. I can't promise I've learned the whole thing. But some of it connects with stuff I use in my work as well, and I'm really excited about it. And the reason I wanted to jump back into the third chakra is because I think you kind of implied it too, for most of us or most of the people that we're seeing these days, that third chakra is writhing.
Yeah,
that's collectively. Yeah, it's collectively, isn't it? It's not just great you
word.
Or
no,
me.
No, I think writhing is exactly the perfect word. And the writhing is creating heat and creating chaos. And absolutely, I completely agree with you. And what we are is in the final stages. Now, the final stages could take 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
we can change that, can't we?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to take 100 years because we have the perfect storm, right? Because we have climate change, which is so immediate and is going to get more so. We have these viruses now that are really provoking us to look at ourselves, if we do. Some people do, some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
We have the systems of organizing our cultural systems and economic systems that are really just hanging on. We're trying desperately to patch them up. So, but we are in the final stages of that allegiance to the third chakra. We're being called to the heart. And so people like you who are doing this work, people in everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. There's people everywhere. There's even, you know, people in the Republican Party who are coming to the heart and realizing that there is a place where we all do meet.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a heart. Everybody has a heart. And that the heart does not care one whit for our ideologies.
I know. And the heart really does want to. I mean, this is Valentine's weekend, so it's a pretty appropriate conversation, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah, and that whole competition. Okay, so one of the things about the heart, before we get to the heart, is back into the solar plexus, who I am, is a very pivotal question for a lot of people.
For sure.
And I think what you're implying is that it's something to be dropped off in order to release ourselves from all of that and become more informed by the heart?
Yeah, exactly. Because, so look, here's what's happened. Also, let me just say a little more. So the external paradigm, right? We're used to bouncing that third chakra off the external, right? The external world, like how things are organized. Like I go to work and I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and I know myself by that feedback. So what's happened is that external paradigm has been disrupted for so many people that we're left with our identity, as you said, writhing, because we don't have the immediate feedback. So what's the opportunity? So some people, because they don't know, have retreated into depression, anxiety, addiction, conspiracy theories, things that
fear,
that,
a lot of fear stuff.
Fear,
huh?
It's all based on fear. Mm-hmm. It's all based on fear of like, oh my God, I don't know who I am anymore. And we are not very good at hanging out in the I don't know.
We get cranky. I think, Jonathan, or I often say that I feel like the lockdown is actually a crucible and we're in it.
Yes, I agree.
But to me that means, and I know you're saying this in more eloquent ways and so on, but it's like, it is to me a transformational global thing. So does climate change, you know?
I agree with you. And mm-hmm. So the opportunity then is for us to be pioneers. Mm-hmm. The pioneers are the one that see the territory ahead and go and inhabit the territory waiting for everybody else to catch up. And so to be a pioneer of the heart is really what the opportunity is now. So to take advantage of what you're saying, to be in the crucible and to come consciously to the heart. So this is exactly what I'm teaching, and I'm very grateful to say I'm not the only one, but I'm teaching literally, not metaphorically, how does one create the internal vibrational structure to then center your awareness in your heart, and to recognize when I'm being pulled back into the third chakra. It happened to me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I got pulled back in my third chakra. I have so many things going on, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm very grateful that I have people around me who could be in their hearts while I remember to get back to mine. And then I breathe and did what I know how to do, which was stop, breathe, connect with my heart, intern, and step into, in my consciousness, the space of compassion in front of my heart and rest, and then let everything reorganize because it'll reorganize itself. So that's my daily practice.
Well, that's wonderful, actually. I'm writing this down. It's a wonderful practice, isn't it? So you're saying that the heart, as a species, our heart is calling us. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And we have to let go of a lot of our ego stuff. We have to let go of a lot of stuff to go with it, right?
We have to get comfortable with not knowing who we are and not knowing what's going to happen, and mm-hmm. recognizing that the mind wants to make up stories. Oh no, this is what's going to happen. Oh no, this is what's going to happen. Right? No, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. So I'm comfortable with that because I know where my heart is, and my main orientation is within myself and connecting with these qualities which are transpersonal. Compassion is a universal force. It's not only that I have it, you have it. It's universal. Faith is a universal force. Faith doesn't have anything to do with religions necessarily. Mm-hmm. Faith is an active force that pulls us forward and somehow lets us know that even though I have no idea what's going on and I'm not in charge, somebody knows, and somehow it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. So religions take that and try to own it. No, you can be religious or not religious, but faith is there, right? Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is not necessarily the province of any religion. Forgiveness is a universal force that comes to make everything now.
Well, it's interesting because you were using the word attachment in the third chakra,
mm-hmm.
and I often see attachment, like for forgiveness, for example, it is essentially an art of releasing attachment.
For sure.
And I love forgiveness as a practice. It seems to grow me up better.
And see, what I know is that forgiveness also is a universal force. I talk about these forces. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Of course it does.
Oh, of course. It's wonderful.
You know,
there is
a vibration of forgiveness, right? Springtime is forgiveness.
Isn't it? I never thought of that. That's great.
Every time springtime is forgiveness. Springtime is things become now, things become new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the contraction of winter that that is makes everything go inside. We're sitting here now. I'm in Oregon, and everything is contracted. Mm-hmm. And then here comes springtime, and springtime is the energy of forgiveness again. So that's a universal force. And so what happens is when I commit myself to forgiveness, when I say, okay, I choose to forgive what you're saying, I choose to let go, I can't actually make myself do it. What I can do is make the intention and breathe into the space of forgiveness in my heart, and then wait, and then forgiveness comes. And it comes as a vibration, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, what was the problem?
I love that. Right? Wow, this is really interesting.
You want me to tell you where forgiveness is?
Yeah.
I'll tell you where it is. Okay, this is an exercise that I do. Here's the thing. Everything I teach is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work. It's not a panacea. It's not vote for me and I'll set
it's
you free.
It's only simple because it's really evolved.
It's universal. And spirituality is very simple. We make it complex with our explanations. Okay, mm-hmm. So here it is. Your heart's the center of your heart chakra, right? Right in the center mm-hmm. of your chest. Around it is a clock.
Okay.
It's a clock. So 6 is at the bottom.
Okay.
12 is up by your throat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 3 is on the left side, actually pretty much where your heart organ is. 9 is across from it, right? So you have a cross, 6, 9, 12, 3. Forgiveness is at 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So it's right over, like, you know, if you travel down from the center, it's like, you know, like right at the bottom of the right side, there's a little place there. And if you put your finger there, it's sensitive and feels nice. That's where the pre-prepared slot for forgiveness lives. Now, how did I discover all this? Because I was paying attention, and it all started with that moment when I had my hand over that woman's belly and I knew that she didn't know who she was anymore. And then from there. One day after that, a year after that, not too long after that, I was walking through my office, same office, and I had gone to the bathroom and I was headed for my treatment room to help somebody. And I passed by the desk where my wife was sitting. And all of a sudden I had this feeling in front of my heart, but it was the most pleasurable, amazing feeling I ever had in my life. And I just stopped and I was like, well, what is this? And I realized I had compassion for everything in the universe. All of a sudden I was like, wow, I just wish well for everybody. What is this? And I realized, oh, my God, it's compassion. And mm-hmm. I knew where it was. And I made a prayer in that moment, which was, I want to learn how to do this.
Oh, wonderful.
Teach me how to do this so I don't have to wait on grace, so I can do it every day. And I don't have to count on the Dalai Lama to hold compassion for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. And so, is that in your heart, your actual center of your chest?
Literally, it's about 4 inches in front of that heart center. So at 7 o'clock is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And there's a dock in front of your heart that you walk out on, and you sit on the end of the dock and you dangle your feet in the lake and you breathe.
Hmm.
And literally you are activating the vibration of compassion in your whole being, and you're joining with compassion in the whole universe at that moment.
Hmm.
It's, and I'm telling you, it sounds so simple. It's really simple. I do it every day. I do it many times a day.
That's very impressive.
It's what I had to do this morning.
Because as I was reading your wonderful book, I was so aware of, I want so much to feel the evolution of our species, of humanity, you know? And I feel like when you're talking about compassion and sitting there dangling your feet in the water and so on, I just have that really deep feeling of that is our evolution, if we can live into that, isn't it? Yeah,
I agree, because compassion allows what can happen to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion allows what can happen to happen. It is the space of absolute non-attached presence.
but an assumption also that that person over there has something wise in him or her.
Yes.
There's a kind of a beautiful, it's not the same as forgiveness, but there's a beautiful assumption there, isn't there?
Well, it allows forgiveness, if that, because forgiveness is the end result of all healing. The end result of all healing processes is forgiveness. But yes, it assumes and the face of compassion also gives total respect. I absolutely respect that your inner being, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're on your path. My job is to hold a space for you to do what I know absolutely clearly you know how to do inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't know it yet. But
knowing is an interesting word, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to know it for you until you know it. But I'm not going to try to fix you. I'm not going to, you know, berate you. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to do it for you. Because doing it for you is the difference between sympathy. There's three similar but different energies that we embody. Sympathy, empathy, and compassion. Sympathy is the energy of I'm going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy is the energy of I'm going to do it with you.
Right.
Compassion is the energy we're talking about. I'm going to hold the space because I know you're going to do it.
Oh, that's lovely. And then when you talk about that amazing sea of energy and so on, those waves and motions are moving for all of us, right?
For sure.
So it gave me some wonderful images as you're talking, seeing us.
Oh, I'm very grateful. Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. But also you do energy, you do acupuncture, right? Do you still do that?
I do it somewhat. I don't do much acupuncture anymore. I do it sometimes. What I do is what's called transformational energy healing, which is a methodology that came out of this, all this stuff we're talking about, mm-hmm. where what I do and what I teach people to do is to interact directly with the other layers of the energy system. So for instance, that thing that when I described that initial moment, I had my hand in what's called the mental body of her third chakra. So what we do is, and you described it very beautifully, these membranes that are surrounding these thought forms, beliefs, right? Most illness comes from belief.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is using mostly hands, although I also use crystals sometimes, and sometimes I do it, but I do it a lot of work at distance now. I do it over Skype, I do it over the phone, I do it over Zoom. So it's also done at distance, so I don't use my hands at all. I'm just aware, using awareness and consciousness and praying that the guides will come and do it.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is free up though the material contained in that, within that membrane, free it up so that the system can right itself and there can be harmony reestablished in the whole system. So acupuncture then can help that. So a lot of times, or sometimes now, at the end of a series of sessions, I'll do some acupuncture to balance that particular layer of energy that acupuncture works in.
Hmm.
But mostly I leave that to other acupuncturists to do that work, because my observation is the work that I'm doing and that I'm teaching helps those other works work better. So for instance, I have a number of people who have come to me, and just give an example, they have back problems and they've been to chiropractors, they've been to massage therapists, they've been to pain clinics, they've taken CBDs, they've done all this stuff. Nothing worked. Do the work that we do, they go back and do exactly the same thing they did before that didn't work, and this time it works.
Hmm.
Because what we've done is freed up the other layers. We've freed up the emotional body. The emotional body a lot contains material. You talked about the sea of energy. So that which I pick up from that sea unconsciously and I hold to my own body like I'm holding a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't come from me, but makes weight, energetic weight on my body, A lot of times this comes to the, there's two places that it comes a lot. It comes to the solar plexus and comes behind the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And those energies that I just didn't realize were weighing me down, we free those up and just lift those off, send them to a good place. I'd say we back up the cosmic dump truck and we put the stuff in the cosmic dump truck and take it away. And automatically people feel lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it frees up those internal systems.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's a very, and again, it sounds, you know, it can sound woo-woo and whatever, but it's very practical, right? We live in a sea of energy and we get wet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dry ourselves off.
And we sometimes don't know any better because it's just like the fish in the ocean doesn't know.
Exactly.
Now tell me this. What about things like, and I want to get to the heart, but I'm thinking about karma and I'm going, how much of this is pre-described where we get stuck in energy fields and patterns and so on? And does it, for some people will say, well, it'll take you three lifetimes or this or that. I don't really believe that, but I'm just saying, what is your interpretation of all of that? We come in with the baggage that we come in with, right?
For sure. Look, we all have our vehicle. Each vehicle is a generic vehicle, right? They're all basically the same.
Oh, really?
But then they're customized.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like go and you want a new Chevy and they say, well, do you want, what color upholstery do you want? Do you want leather? Do you want, you know? And so your vehicle, my vehicle are the same, but yours has been customized based on a number of things. One of them is karma, right? And that means, what does karma mean? Karma means simply that there are particular lessons, like we have a resume. In order to pass through Earth life over the many lifetimes we do, we need to learn a curriculum, a set of lessons.
Right.
Everything that Earth life has to teach, because Earth life has so many different aspects to it, so many different amazing adventures and lessons. So we
and
come
layers, to, you said layers, which I assume layers. Is the interpretations we make according to which layer we're at, sort of thing.
Exactly. Okay. And so the karma is the built-in lesson. Like, I need to learn. So, for instance, in my life, I needed to learn how to feel.
Okay.
And so my karma conspired, actually, when I was a child, I had two operations on my eyes that almost blinded me.
Oh, wow, really?
But the karmic purpose was to make sure that I wasn't relying on my vision, because I had to learn how to feel. I had to, and I didn't want to.
Hmm.
So as I learned how to feel and then received a super clear message that I needed to learn how to live in my heart, like clear.
Like verbal or feeling?
Verbal. I was in Brazil. I'm sitting in a big open room, a church. I'm sitting on a log on the floor. 250 people meditating together, praying together, and I'm there and I'm complaining to God.
Because God is listening, right?
But, well, as if, and I was raised Jewish, so Jewish people, we get to argue with God. So I was arguing with God and complaining and like whining internally, like, why don't I see? All these people see visions. Everybody sees. I don't see. Meh, 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 meh. And an energy came through the top of my head, like my body was a syringe, and the plunger pushed my awareness down to the center of my chest, and a voice said, clear voice said to me, when you live here, you'll see everything.
Wow.
And my life changed. I was like, okay, there's my prayer. My prayer isn't, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. My prayer is, I want to live in my heart.
Uh-huh. So, was that the turning point, or did it take a while?
That turning point. No, I'm still learning. Okay. I'm still learning every day. It's not a pill. It's not a panacea. It's like, okay, this is the process. And then you referred to layers. Mm-hmm. There are layers to that to the heart, and layers. So so I meditate and I pray and I do ceremonial work and I heal myself and I do breathing and I work through a layer, and then, oh wow, there's another one. Oh wow, there's another one. You know, I don't think there's any end. And so that process, then I had to learn that. And then as a result, my vision is way better than it used to be.
Wow, that's great. Hey?
Wait.
You also have very intense perceptions as well, right?
Yes.
Which are new, aren't they?
And still mostly come through feeling.
Through
feeling. Number one is feeling. Number two is intuition. Number three is seeing.
Okay. And tell me about intuition. A moment here. Something I read in your book, and I'm going, yeah, I need to talk to him about intuition, because is it kind of a flow, an energy flow in this great sea of energy that can lead us to evolution?
Absolutely. Intuition is the voice of the heart.
Okay.
Right? We have the light of the heart. We have the layers of the heart, starting with humility in the center, and then calmness, compassion, faith, surrender. And then all these other qualities, forgiveness and self-love and all these other things that live in the heart. Intuition is the voice of all that. Intuition is what says, that's right, or nope, that's mm-hmm. not right. You know, mm-hmm. you got it not quite right, doing right. And it comes with a feeling of rightness, right? A sensation of like, yep. And it develops over time, just like developing any other muscle. So the ability.
It's a choice, isn't it?
It's a choice to let it develop. It's a choice mm-hmm. to choose to follow it rather than following my mind and following my ego. Mm-hmm. So. To follow that intuitive voice, which sometimes is so quiet. When I was learning how to follow my intuition, I lived in Boston, lived in the center of Boston. I would go out for a walk in my neighborhood, and I would come to a corner. And I didn't have any destination. And I would stop, and I'd breathe, and I would ask my heart, which way should I go? Should I go left, right, go back the way I came, or straight? And my heart would say, okay, turn left. And I would turn left. I didn't know what was going to happen. Inevitably, I'd run into a friend, or I'd end up at the ice cream store and, you know, get something to eat. So it was like just training myself to not have an agenda and follow that voice. Now, it's mm-hmm. much louder. It's much clearer. I guide my life from it. I guide my work through that. And it still takes work because, of course, I have a very active mind and a very, you know, a strong ego and all that. So intuition is that voice. You know, some people call it the still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be activated. What my teacher said was, one of my other teachers, an incredible woman, incredible. She was 4'9", little Brazilian woman.
Oh, great.
She was incredible. Her name was Baixinha. Baixinha means little one in Portuguese. She said, and she was a queen of mediums. She was a queen in Brazil, queen of mediums.
Wow.
She said, everybody is a medium because everybody lives between spirit and matter. We are all made up of spirit and matter.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, therefore, everybody is a medium because to be a medium is to be a bridge between spirit and matter. And she said, the strongest form of mediumship, more than receiving beings or receiving messages or doing healing, the strongest, most important form of mediumship is intuition.
Wow. Okay. That's great. That's a really wonderful thing to hear, you know?
So intuition,
you really practiced, huh?
I really practiced. No, I practice it because intuition takes intuition is like a it's not, but it's like an alive vibrating algorithm that takes into all this information from all these levels, takes in the physical, takes in the mental, takes in the emotional, takes in the spiritual, takes in the cosmic, takes in all this information, and then somehow says, okay, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're going to say, here's what you're not going to do. Right. Like I tell people, OK, so people come to me with various difficulties, healing difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've learned. the people who heal the deepest and the most successfully are the people who follow their intuition. So particularly, say someone has cancer. If you've ever know anybody, I hope you've never had cancer, but if you know people who have, you get thousands of ideas. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Aunt Nellie, she took this drug. And
I know.
Here we are in the COVID time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's this question that people have, right? How do I navigate? What am I supposed to do? And if you eliminate the extremes, right? If you eliminate the people who are scared on one side and scared on the other,
mm-hmm.
in the middle, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to navigate? The people who heal and the people who are successful are the people who activate their intuition and follow their intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the intuition tells you to do things which are really against what your common sense tells you. Or common sense is part of intuition. What the external world would tell you. Like, that's a crazy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a client who had a very difficult form of cancer in her spine. And she received like 30 different ideas. She knew she did a combination of different therapies, some of which didn't make sense in terms of what she was receiving from Google and whatever. And she absolutely is completely fine today and has learned the lessons, the incredible lessons based on her prayer of many years that she's being offered through this. And so far she's good. So far her cancer is completely gone.
Well, that certainly is a helping with the awareness that we stuff a lot of beliefs into various parts of our body and create a lot of disruption.
For sure.
Right? And she's really accessed. So what you're saying kind of is the intuition is almost an antidote for beliefs that are stuck.
Totally. You're totally right. I like that a lot. I'm going to steal that. Can I steal that
please,
line?
You can have it. Build more. It doesn't matter. Also, because we're going to run out of time, and I hate to let you go, maybe you'll come back on because
you're so
full of life and interesting, and thank you for that. But the heart, let's get to the heart because it is Valentine's, and intuition helps with that, but I know you have a lot more to say about that.
That's okay. I have a lot to say about a lot of things.
We're glad. We're really glad.
The heart.
Yeah, because, excuse me, a lot of people want to do that and say it's really hard. I don't even quite know how to get there or to know what it is. But I kind of think of it, and I'd rather have your opinion than mine, but I kind of think of it as a little bit like a sea anemone, that it kind of can shut down if you try and tickle it, and it, you know.
That's great.
And you scare it, or you've been really, a lot of people have been really hurt in life or betrayed, and it'll be cold. I watch pathological people, and I go, I don't watch them all. I just see experiences that come up, and you know that they don't really know. Have you ever had empathy? Because their heart has gotten ice cold at a certain level because of trauma. Right. So I like to, I'd love to have you just chat about that and help people release themselves from that, release from the coldnesses and recognize them first, of course.
So we are designed, all nature is designed to protect the innocent.
Okay.
We protect our most tender places. We protect our most tender self. We protect the innocent part of ourself. So all of the things that you're describing are ways, brilliant ways, like how does an infant, how does a two-year-old, how does a five-year-old organize their energy to make sure that that most innocent, tender light is not snuffed out.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all cases, there are cases where people have been so damaged that really the light has gone out. But even in people that I've met who seem to be so disturbed and so hurt and so reactive and blah, 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 and so ill, there's still that light inside. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is for us to acknowledge that we all have that. The second thing is that we protected it. How did we protect it? In many cases, referring to what you're saying about the heart, what we did was we took a portion somewhere between, 5% and 90% of the energy of our hearts, and we put it behind us in a little lockbox.
Mm-hmm.
And turned
the key. But it's still there, right?
Well, it's still there. There's nothing missing. In almost no cases of anybody that I ever have taken care of in 44 years is there anything missing. It's just been put away, and it needs to be reclaimed.
Hmm. So, and that actually, you know something, Jonathan, that's very compassionate. If you're speaking to someone who's, a crook or, an extreme thing, there's a lot of compassion in your understanding that you share with that person, and that probably does it. Great deal of healing, doesn't it?
And there's a whole nother subject, but I'm going to stick with the heart. There's a whole nother thing you just opened up, but I'm going to stick with this.
And so we're going to get together again. So there.
Good.
Keep talking.
So what happens is there's a place behind the heart, foot and a half behind the center of between your shoulder blades, where the back of your heart chakra is, mm-hmm. and that's where the lockbox is, and the energy of your heart that was taken away to protect the most tender heart, because a heart left to its own devices will just do what a heart does. It will reach out and it will love and it will do all those things. If that wasn't welcome, that even in some extreme cases was, met by beating and sexual abuse and blah, 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 blah. So I pull it and I lock it back there. So mm-hmm. the process is, number one, recognizing that innocent place in me. Number two, am I ready? Do you want your heart back? Do you want it back?
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody wants it. There are people that aren't ready yet. Fine. That's okay. And then there are ways, so what I teach, what I do and what I teach people is literally how do we free up, how do we put the key in the lock and open the lockbox and then breathe it through to the front and reclaim your heart.
What and a wonderful Valentine gift. Teach us how to breathe. How to breathe.
How to breathe that. And reclaim. So that could be our Valentine's theme. Reclaim your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Remember and reclaim your heart.
There's so many people, that I talk to, they want to know about love and why didn't it work and how can I meet so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. But if they don't have self-love, if they
That's
haven't
right.
opened that heart, it's really hard to do it, isn't it?
And what we do then is we keep recreating the belief. So if really the belief I have is that I'm not lovable because I don't love myself, mm-hmm. oh my God, then people appear in front of me all the time to show me that again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a curse.
Mm-mm.
It's a reflection. So the empowering thing is, okay, I'm going to heal that belief in me that says love is painful.
Mm-hmm.
Love is difficult. Love is blah, 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 fill in the blank. I'm going to heal that in me, and then let's see what happens.
I love that. This is a great way to end, Jonathan, and this is just the beginning because we're going to talk again. You're just a wealth of, I want to call it knowledge, but you're kind of a beingness that has gone through an awful lot of learning, and that's so touching for us all. And I thank you so much.
I'm super grateful to talk with you and be participating in the really good work that you're doing.
Oh, good. And yours, too. So, and to everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in to Paradigm Shifters. And let's all shift our hearts for this amazing Valentine weekend. And thank you so much to Jonathan Goldman. Is it Doctor or just Jonathan?
No, just Jonathan. Good enough.
Well, you sound like a heart doctor to me. Thank you for being a Paradigm Shifter.
Thank you very much. I'm grateful.
Yeah,
see
me too.
Later.
Bye.